Let's get this going. It's Vox Arcona, Mission 23. Ready to roll? Let's do it.
Yeah!
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Wait, no, 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 wrong thing. Abort. Abort. Okay, here we go.
Attention, Crusaders. You are now listening to Vox Arcona, a production of Hollow Street Media. By the will of the immortal emperor of mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcona may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Romascus of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusaders! Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 23, coming to you live from the Battlefleet Charon in the Segmentum of Scurus, November 2nd, 2015. I am Katsu, and I am pleased to share the fleet's Vox Relay with Gigabyte. How are you, sir?
Hello, yes, not too bad, thank you very much.
I think there might have been a crossed wire at the beginning of the show. I think.
Yes, well, if that's what you want to call it.
Okay, look, I have to... Dear listeners, co-host, friend of mine, I have a confession. I also have a Spice Girls fan podcast. I go on and on about everything that the girls have been doing recently, about the trials and tribulations of how difficult it is to be a football player's wife. And by football, I mean soccer, for those of you here in America. And I go on and on about how difficult it is to be a host on The Voice or touring the country as an artist, having to succumb to bulimia just to fit a particular archetype you were hired for. But we don't make you binge and purge.
Did you cry when they released the song Goodbye?
Oh, you mean I have that song? Wait, no, I do have that song. Anyway, I would say it's one of the best kept secrets in the land of Katsu, except for the fact that I've now just told all of our listeners that I'm a Spice Girls fan. Like, I actually am. So I have this, like, there's this slight Anglophile in me, and all of the, and the part of me that is Anglophile looks suspiciously like Mel, Victoria, Emma, and yeah.
Wow.
Shut your mouth. you're like I'm in England and I don't even like those people.
No one likes the Spice Girls over here.
You shut your mouth. The Spice Girls are saints. The Spice Girls are everything. You have no idea. Why don't you just leave the Spice Girls alone? Anyway, so all of that aside, yeah, we are here.
There's a side of Katsu I've not seen before.
Oh my god, you don't even know. Anyway, like, if I were any more rabid about the Spice Girls, I'd also be complaining about how, well, you see, in the Charon subsector, they were using Type 7 armor with the recursive Aquila pattern Vambraces, or whatever. Anyway... Alright, so we are here not to talk about the Spice Girls. That's my other podcast that we won't ever speak of again, because it doesn't actually exist, but whatever. Anyway, we're here to talk about Eternal Crusade, the game put out by Behavior Interactive, the game of which we have dedicated the previous 22 episodes, and we will dedicate this episode to telling you all the stuff that we think is particularly cool about Eternal Crusade, and about the 40K universe, and about all of the things. Anyway.
All of the things.
But first, let's catch up with Gigabyte. How have you been this week, sir? What you been up to? What you been doing?
Lots of baby stuff. Quite a bit, work stuff as well. Work's been a bit of a bitch recently. Yes.
Wait, work has been a bitch? No.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know as for me, it's been 99% work, and then, like 99% work, and then, like, 3% sleep, and then 3% of, like, family obligations and stuff, and then, like, 4% of, oh my god, the Wildstar, let's see, the Wildstar Fall Celebration, the Secret World Fall Celebration, the Lord of the Rings Online Fall Celebration, like, doing all the holiday events, like, that right there should very, very easily be, like, a part-time job in and of itself. Just all of the different
that's been a job in and of itself for me as well.
Right. But beyond that, everything's all hunky and dory on my side. And we actually have a man. Okay. So we've been super, super busy with real life work. And Gigabyte and I feel really sorry about that, don't we, Gig?
Oh, totally.
Gigabyte, yeah, there we go. It was like, don't we Gig? And there was like silence. Like, no, I don't feel sorry about it at all. Screw these people. No, but no. So Gigabyte and I feel sorry about that. And in order to make it up to you guys, we are going to have a super special, super awesome, special podcast that will be coming out in the next couple of days. Because we are going to take the episode. We are going to.
Yay.
We are going to have Katie and Brent in the studio with us tomorrow. Like, by to give you an idea, we're recording 6:30 Central Time here in the U.S. of A. And 24 hours from now, I will have the audio engineered and edited on the interview with Katie and Brent from Behavior. And we're going to talk about stuff. So to be 128 bajillion percent honest, I intend to ask them when I'm going to be able to play a Dreadnought, and when I can play a Scout, and also when the Orc Twitch is going to happen, and I intend to ask them about flyers and drop pods, and also when can I have a pony? No. No, really, my interview mindset whenever I do interviews with people, developers, because I've been the host of a couple of different Holosuite podcasts, or at least one as the main host and one as a panelist. And in the interviews that I've been in, like, I never want to ask the, like, the dumb question that you're going to hear on it on Into the Warp anyway. I always want to ask the, like, so, like, for example, if you follow Katie on Twitter, you know that she is a rabid Lara Croft fan. She loves Tomb Raider. And so, like, one of her first projects was a Tomb Raider fan site. In fact, probably one of the most noted Tomb Raider fan sites on the interwebs. And so, like, I want to ask her how those things are going. Like, because it's very easy to fall into the culture of them. You know what I'm saying? There's us and there's them. And the problem is we forget that, you know, Katie and Brent and Nathan and all these other people, like, they have other projects that they're doing. And while obviously, you know, while obviously we want to talk about Eternal Crusade, because that's why we're here and that's what we're excited about, like, it also won't be horrifically crappy if we ask, like, how things are going and how pumped Katie is over the whole Rise of the Tomb Raider thing that's coming up. So definitely we want to talk about those things, and we want to pass that along. And unfortunately, due to the fact that Darren is a stinky Brit, he is unregrettably gonna have to miss the interview, which I'm sorry. I'm really sorry about that, Darren. Like, I seriously am. But just due to scheduling,
I'm quite upset about that, actually.
I know. Well, we'll get next time, like, Nathan's in Europe, we'll get him to do the interview with you, and then I'll have to miss out on Nathan or something. I don't know. We'll work it out. Yeah. But due to scheduling and the fact that things kind of have to happen during business hours, like, I've been able to jump in and take care of this interview, and unfortunately Darren will miss it. So instead of launching it as a full episode and having Darren be like, well, I would have some things, but I wasn't there, you know?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
we'll put that out as our love letter to you guys. So anyway, let's actually talk about some Eternal Crusade, seeing as we've been babbling for freaking ever. Anyway, so Eternal Crusade, nothing out by Graham McNeil this week. Nothing too crazy, no interviews that have gone too far off the reservation. But no. Into the Warp, like I said, my work was a bear, so I didn't get a chance to watch any of this Into the Warp. Did you get a chance to at all?
Yeah, I caught some of it. I caught the production update and I caught the battle, which was very awesome. The production update was very interesting. Spoke about the Stormbolter, which is something I've been waiting for ages because I love the Stormbolter. Yes, very very awesome. I play the Stormbolter a lot when I'm playing Space Marine.
When I played Space Marine, I was never a big fan of the Stormbolter. Just because I don't know, that's a lot of DACA, but I always seem to have shot placement issues with it. Did it look like it was really good here, or?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, the greatest thing about the Stormbolter for me is the fact that, the Space Marine anyway, when you do sort of let rip with it, more often than not, the opponent is so by the sheer amount of bullets heading their way, that it kind of makes them lose their equilibrium for a second, which can be very very helpful in those sorts of battles. So I'm a big fan of the Stormbolter.
Just so you know, we sent a thing out to Twitter just before we went live, saying that, or just before we went on start recording. Talking about the fact that we were going to do the interview, and now I've got Brent and Katie arguing across Twitter about Jasper, her parrot's Halloween costume. so they're yelling. That was, for those of you at home, like, I'm not even going to edit that out. Those two tweet notifications you heard, that was literally Brent and Katie both responding back about the parrot costume dilemma, which I think sounds like an amazing. It sounds like a TV movie. Like, we need to have it. Like, The Parrot Costume Dilemma.
Definitely.
At any rate, so what else went on in the show?
They spoke about the melee update that's coming. They're working on the melee system. By all accounts, it should feel a lot more fluid, which should be very good. They're bringing back the defensive bash for assaults, for raptors and the like. Apparently you hold down both mouse buttons to do a defensive bash. You kind of block for a second with your gun arm, and then you come forward with like a kick, which should knock the other opponent off balance for a second, which should be very handy.
Awesome. So anything else jump out at you that was worthwhile?
That's the really biggest thing for me in the production update. The Stormbolter and the melee update. I think melee is a big bugbear for a lot of games like this. Especially in Space Marine. The melee always felt a little bit sticky, shall we say. So I think getting that right is going to be a very big thing for them.
Well, this goes back to the inherent problem with 40K. Like, I can take a Marine with a storm with a bolt gun, and at 12 inches, I'm going to hit both targets. You traditionally, standard, you know, usually, I'm going to hit both targets, and I'm probably going to wound them both because my ballistic skill's high, my weapon strength is high, like. Chances are I'm gonna put I'm going to put some hurt on the other people. But once I get into melee, like once I get stuck in, it's literally one attack and then I get one attack back. And the answer to melee in 40K is just throw a lot of bodies at it. And I don't know, because here's the deal. Like, I don't want... Here's the deal. I want melee combat for Marines and Chaos to be a wash. I literally want it to be, assuming you both deal the same amount of damage with the same amount of equipment, I want the person who swung first to win. Like, I don't know about guard mechanics and all that other stuff, but the reason I say that is because here's the deal. I don't really care two craps about the melee system right now. Yes, the assault Marines are going to hit like the fist of God, and I get that. But, or the fist of an angry God. Anyway, but where melee is going to matter, melee is going to matter when the Eldar come out. Melee has to work when the Eldar come out, because the striking scorpions need the striking scorpions. Yeah, okay. So they have pistols. They have shuriken pistols, but they also have those scorpion blades. Or, you know, those striking scorpion blades.
Mandiblasters.
Yeah, and the mandiblasters. The banshees.
Oh, the banshees. Game.
Yeah, yeah. Because the striking scorpions. Because the way that it worked is that striking scorpions hit more often, and so you traditionally use striking mm-hmm. scorpions for horde enemies, like where you were outnumbered. But as it applied to like more armored enemies, you actually wanted to bring banshees, because first off, banshees had wraith blades, which were power weapons.
Yeah.
But also the stun allows you to get in the first couple of hits. So the thing is this, the army that is going to matter in terms of melee is going to be the Eldar. They are the ones that have to have the melee system right. Now, yes, the orcs are going to have to be really good at melee as well, but they can have marine melee but hit harder and they'd be fine. Yeah.
But the orcs are very dirty in close combat, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, based on what I've seen, and I'm only, you know, just to clarify, because the last two episodes we've come off a bit bitter about the NDA, which, by the way, now there's actually more streamers now. Some more people got the NDA lifted to stream. They're out there. They're on Twitch. Look them up. I haven't gotten a full list yet because I've been busy this week, but... the thing is this, like the melee combat system as it stands right now, there's problems, but once they get that okay, then what they're going to have to do is just make the orcs hit harder and then perfect the system before the Eldar get in. Because, yeah, okay, the shooting system is going to be good. Nobody's really complaining about the shooting system. There's bits and pieces that may need to be tweaked or fine-tuned, but to be absolutely honest, it's like... it's like mounting a motor on a pedestal that's got four screws as the pillar, as the legs. You put it on the ground, and then you figure out, okay, I need to turn this one a quarter turn, and I need to turn this one back a half turn. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are little adjustments. But once we get that baseline done, then the Eldar are really, you know, then you just make the Eldar above and beyond. Now, granted, you're going to shred them with bolter fire before they get in, but once they get in, they need to be a credible threat. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Anything else we missed?
No. I mean, the battle was pretty awesome. I do like.
Are they still using Black Bolt, or have they gone back to the Promethium refinery?
No. This was still Black Bolt. If I remember rightly.
Okay, so still Black Bolt Fortress. Got it.
Yeah, it was. I did like the look of the Blood Angel apothecaries. It was kind of, it wasn't the white armor all across. It was half Blood Angel, half white for apothecary, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't.
Yeah, well, that's if you look at pictures of a sanguinary priest
of the Alpha. Yeah, I was gonna say it'd be nice if they kept it that way.
But yeah, no, if you look at pictures of the Sanguinary Priests, they're mostly red, but then they've got the white stuff added on. And Brent, I think, in a forum post, said that they were going to go in and, like, after they get the base gameplay experience down, then they're going to modify Sanguinary Priest. They're going to, change the Apothecary. They'll change the Apothecary to the Sanguinary Priest, and they'll have him do his very specific Sanguinary Priest stuff. Same way that they're going to have...
Yeah.
Once they get the Space Wolves in, then they'll go back and, do the Iron Priests and the Rune Priests and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They want to get the armor skins in.
Very cool.
Yeah, they just want to get the armor skins in, and then they'll worry about the more customized units. As I said,
they did have the Vindicator out in the battle.
I cannot currently publicly state how much I love the Vindicator.
Oh my god, did it take a beating in that battle though? My god.
I cannot state how much I love the Vindicator.
it has been done very well. Very well indeed.
Based on what I have heard. Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
I can't say any more than that.
Based on what we've seen in Into the Warps.
Yeah. Based on what we've seen in the Into the Warps, I cannot publicly declare my undying, unmitigated love for the Vindicator assault tank. Anyway.
Moving on.
All right, moving on. So, Warhammer 40K. I am actually... I will go on record as saying that this week in Warhammer 40K and Warhammer 30K, I could not be happier with this week. And there are a number of reasons. First off, in terms of Games Workshop, the Warzone Damocles Kaoyon book is being released. It's in pre-order now, I think, pre-sale. And let me tell you, first off, this is how you do army books. This is it. I get major codex releases, and what they need to do is they need to release codexes, like baseline codexes, every year, and or every other year, or every other month rather, every other month. And then in those gaps, they need to release these Warzone books, because Warzone Damocles covers, ready for this, the Tau, the Raven Guard, and the White Scars. Different formations for them.
Yeah.
It's different formations for them, different things that are going on, different ways to play them. And so it is very similar in a lot of respects to how War Machine and Hordes does their book releases, where they'll release a book and it'll give you a couple of units for a bunch of armies. For War Machine and Hordes, it gives you a bunch of unit. It gives you a couple of units for every army in that product line. But obviously, with 13 or 15 different factions, not counting chapters and warbands / legions, you got like 10 to 15 armies, 10 to 12 armies in Warhammer 40K. So clearly you're not going to be able to release a book and be like, oh, well, in this book, you've got two brand new models for every faction. Because then at that point, you're like, oh, for the love of God. And then you got to rebalance everything and it gets stupid. But by releasing, we're going to focus on these three armies that were major players in this battlefield, right? We're going to focus on their formations and on the storyline involved. First off, you're bringing it back to story. And you know what? I have stated this before. A bunch of other people have stated this before. I hate Warhammer 40K's dice mechanics. I just do. I think that They're clunky, and I hate the idea that buy more models is the answer to overcoming numeric disadvantage in this game. Especially since sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you have taken your 20 wolf blood claw pack and you have equipped them with bolt pistol close combat weapon and you have charged them in and you have a wolf priest with them to allow them to reroll, and no matter what you did, and like I think at that point you've maxed out your melee grossness. Oh, and you also have Ragnar running with them. Why not? But the thing is this, ultimately, now granted, well, now granted, that is at that point, that's 20, 40, 50, no, no, 20, 40, 60, and then Ragnar's got like 5 or 6, and then the Wolf Priest has like 4 or 5, so you've got close to 70 attacks there, just doing the basic math in my head. Does that sound about right? Because you figure 20...
sounds about right.
Well, 20 Blood Claws with 2 attacks apiece, which brings it to 40.
2 attacks each.
Plus, well, they're on the charge, so you add another 20 to that, so that's 60. And then you figure another 5 to 6 attacks for both your independent characters. So, you're dealing with close to about 70 hits. What if only half of those hit? So that's 35. And of those half, what if only half of those wound? Which brings you down to, 20, or brings you down to like 17 or something. And then of those 17, only a third of them get through Chaos Marine armor. You know what I'm saying? So now your 17 becomes 5 wounds. Now granted, you've done five unsaved wounds, but if they're a legion, then they can go all the way up to 20 as well, and you've only taken out a quarter of their unit. Anyway, stupid math. Point of the matter is, I hate the math of this game. I hate the math of this game, but what is almost universally loved by 40K players, and even universally loved by former 40K players, is the lore and the story. And if you can take 3 formations and tie them into a storyline, then now you can sell books and formations. And one of the formations I saw and I particularly liked was the Pursuers of the Ethereal, which is a White Scars formation that is like, as I recall, and don't quote me on this, go get Warzone Damocles and do it, but the Pursuers of the Ethereal that they're selling on the GW store is a unit of 3 scout bikes, 3 units of 3 marine attack bikes, each with a what's the name of the big bike with the sidecar, the assault bike or whatever,
attack bike,
so 3 units of 3 bikes, each with an attack bike attached, and then like 2 land speeders. I think that's the
scout bike squad.
Yeah, I said scout bike squad. That was the first thing. But yeah, so there you go. Like I said, I don't know the specifics. There may be special characters involved. I don't know the points involved, but that's what they're selling. And I like that. I like that formation. Well, but they may be
special characters involved.
They may say that one of those has to be modified. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Pick up Warzone Damocles and look it up yourself.
Possibly.
But this is how you do army books. You
personally,
give a little bit of everybody.
Shadow Force Solak.
Shadow Force Solak? Which one was that?
One second.
Yeah, which one was Shadow Force Solak?
That one.
You're making me work.
In TeamSpeak.
I understand you're making me work.
There you go.
What? That's British. Whatever. That looks like what? A unit of Vanguard? No, a unit of Stern Guard. A
Stern
hero.
Guard, 5-man veteran Vanguard.
I say that looks.
And the spaceman captain.
That looks kind of hotness. Except for the fact that. Do the land speeders have a troop capacity now? Do the Landspeeders have a troop capacity now? See, I remember the Landspeeder Storm having a troop capacity, but only for scouts. I didn't know about the...
There was one variant that could transport, like, a five-man scout squad, but that was about it.
I loved it, because I think it had, like, a teleport scrambler or something, it was really cool.
Yep.
So...
But this is all, like, Raven Guard. It's awesome.
Yep. What, Raven Guard? Who plays Raven Guard? They got outvoted. Anyway, but this brings us to the Forge World stuff. First off, they're releasing the Solar Auxilia, which looks really cool if you're... Here's the deal. I saw those models, and I don't particularly like them for 30K or 40K or Games Workshop stuff. What I do like the Solar Auxilia for is if you're doing, like, a steampunk army or if you're playing, like, a steampunk RPG, these guys, the Solar Auxilia with their helmets on and everything, they look like... you played Bioshock, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are like junior little... These guys are like junior big brothers.
Yeah.
Or big daddies. They're like junior big daddies. Like, that's what these guys look like. And they look really cool. And they've got the steam pipes coming off them and stuff. I really like it. I think that they'd be cool. They'd be cool in a 30K army because I think they fit the theme. But I also like the idea of just having them for steampunk stuff.
Yeah. I do like these Belisarius Storm Section Power Axe armed guys.
Yeah, those are cool too. But none of that is compared to what has been announced. It's not even on the Forge World site, but it has been announced and kind of leaked around, which is the Betrayal at Kalth box.
Yay!
Have you seen those?
No.
First off, it's plastic 30K. Like plastic heresy. Second, let me back up. Not plastic heresy as in how dare they. It's plastic horse heresy models.
I'm looking at Bell of Lost Souls now. They look nice.
Yep. And I think it prices at what, £92 UK? And it comes out to like $150 US, depending on your conversion at the time, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
It is like two different squads of Marines in the type like three or four, and it's got a Contemptor Dreadnought, and I think it's got... Does it have some Cataphract armor? You said you're looking at it on balls right now.
Possibly. Can't tell from these pictures.
Yeah. Point of the matter is, it is a Horus Heresy starter box for $150 US, which prices it right about the same level as... starter boxes for 40K, which we talked about this last week. Like, I love the passion behind 30K. I love the fact that, because they've also... Did you also see the most recent hero announcement?
No.
Yeah. So basically, they're slowly releasing all of the Garrow, all the main characters from the Garrow series.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they're gonna have... I think they've already got... Acton Cruz and Nathaniel Garrow out and about. Specifically, Garrow in his Aquila armor, which is the armor that only gets handed to people that have fought alongside the Emperor or something like that.
That's right.
I like them. Right. I like Garrow and his buddies because they are individuals of an inquisitive nature. And they later go on to found the Grey Knights. Mm-hmm. Or, if not found the Grey Knights, then definitely train the Grey Knights. I've been
a big fan of the Acton Cruz.
Sitting in my iTunes library, I have Legion of One. I think it's Legion of One. It's where they go get the World Eater. The Beast, I think he calls himself. Curse.
Yes, I think that is the one.
Yeah. He's the loyalist World Eater, if I remember right. But at any rate, so I dig just the 30K vibe, and like one of these days I'm gonna break down and I'm gonna pick up Dorne and Sigismund and like all of my Imperial Fist going on to be Black Templars, goodness characters, and I'm probably going to eventually buy all the Primarchs. I'm eventually going to buy all the Primarchs just simply because, and then I'm going to paint them up and set them on a counter somewhere, and everybody will be like, so when are you going to play this game? And I'm going to be like, play this game? What are you talking about? Blasphemy. And then I'm just going to leave them up on my counter and never touch them, and they're going to get like all gritty, all goopy and dusty and stuff, but I'll never let anybody touch them ever. Anyway. until they develop one of those cool boxes that preserves it against like smoke and stuff. Anyway.
Time.
Time. Anywho, so we again don't have a data slate. We haven't received any more iTunes reviews. Please let us know. Let us know what you think about our show. Let us know if you don't think about our show. We'd love to miss your act. We'd love to hate your act. We'd hate to miss your act. Anyway. let us know what's going on. Let us know what
Please,
you think we could do better.
Tell us you like us.
Tell us you love us. Tell me you love me. Anyway. So at any rate. Yes, notice me, senpai. Notice me. Anyway. So. Right? So at any rate. I think we've hit our limit of desperation for the night. And I kind of want to get this
I
put
think
out.
So.
And I kind of want to get this put out before we, so that people can listen to it tomorrow and go like, oh, well, we're expecting an interview the next day. So we will go ahead and wrap it for the night. I am Katsu and he is Gigabyte, and we're waiting for Jerry Halliwell to go on her comeback tour. And reunite the Spice Girls, all five of them, because they're all still alive. This isn't like the Rolling Stone. Oh, no, they're all still alive. This isn't like, you know, the Grateful Dead, where, like, you know, members have died. Like, no, the Spice Girls are back. The Spice Girls are here. Backstreet's back. No, wait, wrong thing. Like,
the Spice Girls will live on forever.
The Spice Girls will live on forever. 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 Anyway, I'm Katsu. He's Gigabyte. Here's our thought. Here's our real thought for the day.
There are no walls strong enough to protect the enemies of mankind.
Oh, wait. No. Wrong thing. Sticky.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcona. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.